Yes, Alfred?
To the bat phone, sir.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
It's Batman!
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode 68 of Batmania 66. Tonight's episode is called The Catwoman Goeth. Joining us tonight, we have two very special guests and one unfortunately missing co-host. So I'm here, Ben, as always. However, Holly is unfortunately not. But joining us, we have Tammy coming back to us.
Hi.
And with Tammy tonight is the wonderful, amazing, and gorgeous Amy De La Valle.
Aw, thanks, guys. Hi. Gorgeous is really important in the podcast world.
You know what? We're gonna take a selfie before we go.
Okay.
So.
Oh, now everyone's gonna know you're lying.
I had an audition today, so I have good makeup on.
I cleaned for 3 hours. Yay! And did laundry and worked out, and I don't look like you.
I repaired computers for 8 hours and then took a nap.
So. Nice.
We all have lives.
Yeah, we do, man. We do.
Tammy, since you've been here before, I'm actually gonna give Amy the guest honors. Of telling us who our villain was, or in this case, villains were.
Oh, gosh.
And what the villainous plot of the episode was.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, I should preface this by saying this is my first ever time watching Batman.
Batman Virgin!
Oh, yeah.
Never saw it! So, the characters are pretty new to me. I knew of Catwoman because of when Michelle Pfeiffer played her in the movie, and that's about it. So I actually, while watching this, I was like, oh, yo, Catwoman is a villain. That's right. Like, I didn't realize she was a villain. It never occurred to me, I guess. I don't know. I thought she was just like a cool badass. Like, maybe she fought crime too. I didn't know.
Well, you know what? Surprisingly, you probably picked it up through cultural osmosis. But in the comics, she goes back and forth a lot.
Yeah. Oh, she does?
Yeah.
There's some really good artwork of her and Batman making out too.
Oh, yeah. I figured there was a little history or something about the happening.
Yeah, go ahead and turn your safe search off and Google Batman and Catwoman and just see what happens. Do it at work.
I highly recommend some fan art. Yes.
Okay. So the villains were Catwoman and the Sandman, whose last name was Spaghetti?
No.
Almost. Oh, no? Was I wrong about this?
Yeah, that's okay. You're okay.
If his alter ego is to believe that his actual name, his name was Dr. Somnambula.
Somnambula.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out, what is his real name? But the Sandman. It was the Sandman. And those were our villains.
I wonder if his first name was Morpheus. Morpheus Somnambula.
Only if his parents hated him.
And now you want the plot?
Yes. What was their grand scheme?
This is even crueler because
because I'm trying to absorb so much watching this 25-minute episode.
I'm gonna also say probably the villain plot was established in the previous episode and it was just kind of played out in this.
Yeah,
one,
I
so.
Would give you. Yeah. Do you want to go ahead and take a stab at it,
well,
Tammy?
Since
you're an old hat at this.
As a previous podcast guest, the plot was basically that the Sandman was trying to marry into the Spaghetti Billions fortune
and
of Pauline...
J. Pauline Spaghetti.
J. Pauline Spaghetti. Mm-hmm. The Spaghetti... Billionaire heiress.
Whose husbands all took her last name.
Yes, I totally wrote that down because she's a feminist badass. So it's like, you're marrying into the Spaghetti fortune. You're going to take my last name, bitches.
Okay, maybe this is me being slightly sexist, but I assumed it was a Henry VIII situation, and she just hunted down men with the last name Spaghetti.
Well, I did at first I was like, were these just all like a bunch of brothers? But I will say that they were.
One bride for seven brothers.
I would watch
that musical.
I like that, and so I was like, wait a minute, they really made a point to say that it was like her fortune, that like she invented the spaghetti factory island.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
An island of spaghetti. It's an Italian stream coming through.
So,
which looked suspiciously like Catalina on the horizon.
We were totally playing some insider baseball, being like, what lot is that? Is that the Fox lot? It might be Warner Brothers. I don't know. But the plot was basically that the Sandman was going to marry for the billions and then run off. But Catwoman got tricked. She helped, but thought they were going to split the money. But you can't trust a Sandman.
Yeah, well, you know, there's no honor among thieves.
What? She was true. Pretty bummed about that.
Bummed, but also, in the previous Catwoman story, she did admit that she liked getting caught by Batman, and you could really tell in this episode. You know what? I'm going to say this. Adam West actually looked pretty good in the Batsuit this episode.
Really good. You could tell he was doing his sit-ups. Yeah, because I noticed when...
His squat thrusts.
Yeah, when he was in... When he was...
on the button tufter?
On the button tufter, I was like, nice and flat. Because sometimes also he's got a little bit of a bat beer belly.
Is that so? Because I was, you know, there's like, you don't miss a lot in these costumes in this show. And I'm like, oh yeah, these guys are in really good shape. They're so petite.
Sometimes they're not.
Normally, in episodes past, normally he looks amazing in a three-piece suit and kind of paunchy in the bat suit.
Yeah.
But today he looked pretty good.
Yeah, he was looking, his abs were looking pretty deflated.
Also, from now on, my pickup line is, hey baby, do you want to ride the button tufter? Never fails.
And you know, I am very... Because
I've never used it.
Well, now you can try.
Yeah.
You're at 100% so far.
I'm grateful for the narration in this show, too, because it explained a lot right away. I knew what was happening.
Well, there's two things that this show excels at. One is narration, and the other is labeling.
Yeah. Oh, God. I wrote that down. The sign department is so busy on this show.
Do you think it was like, you know how movie studios will hide failure movies and the profits of successful movies? Mm-hmm. Do you think this was with the sign makers union where it was like everything else they didn't want to label in other movies and TV shows? Like, you know what? Just label everything in Gotham.
I have a theory. I think it was part of some kind of teachers union thing to get kids to learn how to read.
Oh, I see.
It was a kids show. So it's like technically kind of
educational. You know what? That actually makes some sense because they do announce these things that are also labeled.
Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Like saying Rundown Factory four times in front of a sign that says Rundown Factory on a factory.
And I love it. Like, you know, you always hear these stories about like people learned how to speak English from watching TV.
Right.
I want to meet the person that learned to speak English from watching Batman because I bet they are just...
Model citizens.
Just a delight to converse with.
They just
with.
Go around, kapow!
Yeah.
Zap!
Yeah, exactly. Zop, guys. Zop.
Yes.
Zop.
And Z-Zwap.
Yeah, Z-Zwap.
I did take note, and I said, this is like a set from a children's show.
Yeah, and it was. It was supposed to be a kid's show, but it caught the cultural zeitgeist, pardon me for being way too nerdy, but caught the cultural imagination in such a way that it took off like wildfire. Like, there was the first feature-length Batman movie was the movie they made of this show between seasons 1 and 2. So it was huge. Mm. Absolutely huge. And it doesn't hurt when you have villains like Frank Gorshin as the Riddler, Cesar Romero as the Joker, and holy moly, Julie Newmar as Catwoman.
Yeah.
Because she is... Me, yeah. She is a looker.
She is perfect.
Yeah. Oh.
She's really hot. I wrote that down too.
Yep. That's a note in every Catwoman episode for me.
Wow.
So when our episode starts, Batman is about to be tufted to death.
What a way to go.
Robin has been sleep roofied and hypnotized by Dr. Somnambula, or Sandman, and is being taken to Catwoman essentially as a party favor for the heist. I don't remember exactly what one of the henchmen says, but the henchmen are named Snooze and Nap, and Snooze makes a comment about the Batmobile, and he just seems so pleased with himself.
Oh, great news. I distinctly remember what he said.
Oh, good,
he
good.
Said, "The Batmobile?"
Yeah, like he was, he pardon me, but he sounded like the cat that ate the canary. He was super pleased with himself.
I was like, well, that's that guy's only line, because he really gave it 150%. And the Sandman was just like, yes, Batmobile.
Right, yes.
That thing I just said, congrats.
That was that actor's like best, like most low-key take.
And we mentioned it in the previous episode, but Nap and Snooze look really creepy.
They're scary. Like, they've got like mime makeup.
Yeah, what was
with
that?
They look, I don't know. But the way I described it is they look like Paul Bearer from WWF, who used to be the Undertaker's... Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Did
Amy knows.
I do know wrestling.
There we go. I skipped Tammy's nerdiness to Amy's. Uh-huh, there you are.
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh. There we go.
Well, it's because you and Ithamar do Lucha Libre, right?
Yeah, we go to Lucha Vavoom.
Lucha Vavoom, that's what it was, yeah.
So much fun. And we watch every event. We have the WWE Network at home. You know.
Yeah, I don't. I stopped watching when I was like 9. But still.
It's better as a grown-up. It's just good. It's like my version of watching soap operas.
Well, I imagine it's like me going back and rewatching this.
Yeah, yeah.
Is watching it for the ridiculousness as opposed to...
Right. But I got into it as an adult, and Ithamar, my boyfriend, has been watching it since he was a child, and it's cool as an adult.
I remember the moment that, long enough ago that it was still WWF, I remember when they lost me. There was a wrestling match going on, and I kind of knew at that point that it wasn't real. Like, I sort of figured it out. But somebody threw a punch, and I saw air between punch and face.
Oh, no.
And the guy took a dive anyway. Reacted. Then they cut to another angle that showed even more air between punch and face.
You had a Snake Eyes moment.
Snake Eyes?
Yeah, the Nicolas Cage movie where the guy... Look, your listeners are going to really be laughing very hard in their cars right now. It's an amazing movie where Nicolas Cage sees that like a prize fight was faked and somebody gets shot.
Oh, set in Vegas, right?
Yeah.
I know.
You know.
I don't. Yeah, I don't.
Okay, it's hilarious and great.
But if anyone's taking bets on wrestling, that's... A who?
I think it's Brian De Palma.
Oh. Yeah.
There's a lot of split screen.
Yeah.
But that's how you know. Yeah. That's how it works.
I also watched Dressed to Kill for the first time on Saturday night. Oh, my God.
I've never seen it.
Oh, you should watch it.
Anyway.
But not with the windows open.
Oh, gosh.
It got banned in a bunch of... What is this podcast rated?
It's a sexy movie?
It's rated for anybody, so...
Okay, great.
Not for all listeners. I mean, it's for people who are allowed to watch whatever they want.
Okay, great. So the opening credit sequence is her like jerking herself off in a shower. And there are multiple close-ups of her with soap on her nipples and then all up in her bush.
Sorry, guys. Podcast's over. I got to watch a movie. You guys entertain yourself. I'll be back in 10 minutes. It's fine.
It's so weird.
Dressed to Kill?
It's so weird. Michael Caine's in it, guys. Hey. You should watch it.
Like in her bush or in the movie?
Yes.
Because I'm just saying, like, I'm straight, and even though I might go for Michael Caine if he wants.
No, he's super sexy in this movie. Like, yeah.
All right.
I won't say too much about it, but Michael Caine is sexy in this movie. Anyway, sorry.
We just went from Julie Newmar to WWF to Michael
sexy,
Caine
sexy
and bushes.
Michael Caine.
Yeah. So literally I was taking a shower this morning and I was like, I can't take myself seriously in the shower right now.
Damn.
I can't stop thinking about this. It's very embarrassing.
Tell us the truth. It was playing on a loop.
Yeah, right. She's got kind of a face. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Right, because the face is what everybody's looking at. Anyway, Batman escapes the Button Tufter. Because the Button Tufter, for whatever reason, is not going in a linear fashion, nor is it following its own pattern. It's going back and forth.
At one point, one of the buttons just fell off. I don't think they noticed that.
I know.
But
my only
note on this is, how does this machine work? I don't understand. I question the efficacy of this mattress-making facility. Maybe that's why it's a rundown factory. Because this is the rundown factory that they were...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that button machine just really liked to just go on the perimeter of the mattress, really.
I wanted to point out, because the Sandman does his little, sleepy stuff in a spray bottle.
Yeah.
It was so Mad Max. He was, like, spraying it all up in Robin's face.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, what a lovely day. Like, when he first came out, it looked like he had a really bad coke problem.
Oh,
That's what I thought.
Well, because in the last episode, it was powder, not spray.
Oh, okay.
And it was literally just, like, white powders.
Yeah.
Well, when Robin first came out, I was like, he looks like he's been doing coke. What is happening? And then when Sandman sprayed Robin, and it came out as white stuff, I was like, did he just spray
That's
coke on his face?
That's why everybody looks very svelte in this episode.
Yep.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be sleepy. Yeah.
We get Robin to Catwoman, mm-hmm. and when Sandman asks what she's going to do with him, She says his next adventure will be most amazing after having him led off by one of her really hot hench girls.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking...
Who was named Kitty. And Kitty, I want to know how many of them had to fight over that name.
And which one got stuck with Pussy.
She only said there were two names.
And she only said Kitty.
Kitty, and then also Officer Katarina. Mooney is Katarina.
The one who had been revealed as a undercover police officer at the beginning of the last episode. Right.
Yeah. Oh, then I missed that.
But yes, so Kitty leads Robin off, and I'm thinking this might be the greatest thing in his young life.
Yeah.
Because there's, the way it's set up, it's not set up like he's going to die. I'm just saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that he's being taken to Catwoman's Amazing Maze, which is in the catacombs.
Oh, it's so great.
And they are... Sorry, I wrote down because there's a lot of cat words in this.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot.
She has a catanizer.
Oh, I want that fucking catanizer. I wrote, gimme that fucking catamizer.
Which... shoots catasonic acid. She tells Robin that if he doesn't get in the maze, he'll end up being catalyzed.
Yes. This is just my life. Like, this is just my life with my cat. I'm literally constantly... Just yesterday, I coined the phrase, pitch you later.
I just want to be in the writer's room of one of these episodes.
Pre-internet,
you don't have these smartphones, and they're all just, but just a bunch of, white men in their cute little jackets and ties going, all right, guys, all right. Cat words. What can we cat? Anything that sounds like cat, anything that starts with a k.
Yeah.
Catanizer.
So Robin gets sent into the Amazing Maze.
Oh, it's so good.
And he is told that Katarina is in the middle of the maze and doomed to die because once you're in the middle, you can't get out of a maze for some reason.
Because you dumb.
And first of all, the maze is made up of chicken wire.
I wrote, I'm pretty sure the maze is basically just the line where you're waiting to go on the Roger Rabbit ride at Disney.
I was there yesterday.
Yeah.
Went on that ride.
It's basically looks just like just it. That.
It's pretty close.
That's exactly when.
The same lighting, the same sense of I'll never get out of here.
Although I don't think that the fencing is gold on Roger Rabbit.
Mm-mm-mm.
I don't know. It could be part of it.
That is the exact moment when I wrote down this set looks like it's from a children's show.
Yeah.
In a delightful way.
And then Catwoman turns on the electric shock, something rather, which is also labeled. The switch is labeled.
Yeah. Electric current switch.
There you go, electric current switch. And when it goes on, Robin is, for whatever reason, at that particular moment, deciding to grab the fence with both hands. He is then shocked and shouts out, holy voltage. Because he does that sort of thing.
That's what you do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Batman has escaped the button tufting machine and is in a payphone calling Commissioner Gordon. You know what I just realized?
What?
I think he's called into the Batphone from a payphone.
Yeah, because Commissioner Gordon's using the red phone.
Yeah.
He must have some kind of like redirecting line.
He's got a
call service.
Call card.
Yeah.
Just a
10-10-220.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No. That's not true. He is on when he calls. Well, maybe it's the second time he calls. Because at one point he's in the Batmobile. Because it's after the office.
You're right. Okay, you're right. So no, this time it is just
this
to the office
phone.
Just the you're office right.
Phone.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay.
So he calls.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
Because
the laws of Batman 66 have been upheld.
We were worried it was... I don't have to stop watching. Podcast
right?
over. We're bad. And...
Because it just has to make sense, guys.
So does the Batmobile phone not get an outside line?
It is. What's, so what's so we were concerned because we both noted that Commissioner Gordon was speaking on the red phone, which is like the Bat phone.
So no one else can speak on
it's
the red phone.
It's a hotline.
It's a hotline. Yeah. It's like the line that calls the president. Yeah.
That's why you didn't get to see it this episode, but when Commissioner Gordon uses it, it's actually under a bell jar so that he can't accidentally grab the bright red phone that's 6 feet away from
it
his desk.
It's the nuclear code.
Oh, my
it's
gosh.
Very serious.
Wow.
So Batman is on the phone with Commissioner Gordon.
Correct.
Commissioner Gordon is doing us a very big favor and repeating the plot so that we can catch up and know what's going on.
I really did think at this moment, I was like, oh, this was like a break. Like, yeah. It was clearly like coming back from a break.
The only thing I have from this conversation is that he does refer to J. Pauline Spaghetti as a billionaire noodle queen. Mm-hmm. And if I do nothing else in my life, I hope that someday somebody describes me as a billionaire noodle queen.
It's your DJ name.
Actually, we came up with a DJ name for me a while ago. It was DJ Giant Parabola. Yeah.
Oh, that feels very hyper-villain. Yep. I like it.
Also, a customer name today that I should not share, but I will anyway, was H. Dizon, D-I-Z-O-N. I'm like, Honey Dijon is the best burlesque name ever.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Honey Dijon.
Yeah, great burlesque name. copyright Batmania Industries. So Batman... Commissioner Gordon says, I'll send a car out for you to go back to the Batcave. And Batman goes, no, Gotham's rapid transit is the best in the world. So Batman is taking
the
subway home.
Don't waste taxpayer dollars, yes. Commissioner.
We cut to Alfred in the Batcave polishing the Alf cycle.
Like really polishing that thing. Like he was just
That's
so into it.
That's his mode of transportation. It's got his name on it. It's the Alf cycle.
He's poor.
He's poor. Well, he dresses in a tuxedo
this
practically.
But that's his uniform. This was before $15 an hour minimum.
And there's servant's entrance to the Batcave.
Gross! Is there really?
Yes, there is.
Oh
it
my
is,
god!
It is actually, it is off to the left of the bat poles, and it is labeled servant's entrance. And if Holly were here, this would send her on a massive rant. She is so mad that Bruce did not give Alfred his own pole.
Aww. This is disgusting to me. No, because what is this like? Like segregation? What in the heck, Batman?
You think they're discriminating against Alfred because he's British? Is that...
I was going to go poor, but...
Oh, okay.
Because
he's poor.
Yes.
So, Alfred is polishing the Alf cycle. Meanwhile, Batman speed walks into the Batcave.
Ladies and gentlemen, do yourself a favor. Pause this podcast and look this up.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the greatest moments of my life.
The speed walking.
I may need to make a GIF out of this.
Please do.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Use
I'd like that. I would use it.
But yes, Batman.
Be right there.
Bat walking into
yes,
the Batcave.
Bat walk. He bat walked. Because Alfred needed to point it out. Oh, I didn't hear the Batmobile. And he was like, I took the subway and
I got off at Wayne Station.
Oh, so he has his own
he has
station.
His own, well, named after his family at least.
Guys, can we please
what
see this scene
entitled?
Of Batman riding the subway?
There's a video there.
Oh my gosh, I want to see this so bad.
See, and I don't, being a first time watcher, I don't know, like, is Batwalk, is that what he does?
That is
like,
the first time that man has ever Batwalked anywhere that we've seen.
To our knowledge. Canonically speaking, this is the premiere of the Batwalk.
I guess I don't know what's the norm
this
and what's
like. This is
not
the premiere of the Bat-toozy, but.
I'm like, oh, cool. So sometimes he just parks his car somewhere else, takes public transport, and Batwalks.
No, because frequently, Batman is obsessed with being correct. Like, Batman is that guy.
Which is a sign of insecurity.
It really is. Yeah. No, my literally, like, one of my last notes is Bruce is that asshole. Like, Batman is constantly like, nope, here's what I feel like, and here's the correct thing to do. I'm telling you how to pay, spend tax dollars. We'll get to it later, but that whole thing with the police. Like, literally him just being, like, obsessed with being a good boy. You know what? He needs a psychiatrist really bad.
Oh, yeah.
Perfection is deadly, Batman. You will never reach it.
Well, there is...
I'm here for
my you. Operating hypothesis on this show after watching a few episodes is that Alfred is orchestrating all of this. Everybody's paid off. That's why there's very little consequences to anything that happens in Gotham. And Alfred just realized that after Bruce's parents were murdered... And horrible emotional breakdown that Bruce had, and then later taking Dick in after his parents were murdered as well. This was just Alfred giving them some way of having an exercise.
Guys, it's like, spoiler alert, Shutter Island. It's Shutter Island.
And it's funny. It's very, very funny because Holly hates that hypothesis because it's a bummer. And I'll admit, it's a downer of an idea.
Speaking of nerd things, there's somebody proposed that Harry Potter, he is just a severely abused child and he never leaves the closet, and going away to Hogwarts is just in his head.
That's so I'm going to dub really that exist. The Pan's Labyrinth.
It is. It is like Pan's Labyrinth. Yeah, exactly. Which J.K. Rowling has literally come out and been like, no, guys, magic is real, I swear. But when you really sit down and look at it, like every year he gets like a severe injury that could really kind of be just like abuse.
Yeah.
And like those Dursleys, they beat him, you know? Like, yeah. Aunt Petunia tries to hit him in the head with a skillet, like a hot skillet. Like, it's bad. It's real bad.
Yep. Yeah, I would buy into it.
He lives in the closet.
That's pretty
it's
sad.
It's really upsetting.
It's pretty sad.
It gets crowded in there with R. Kelly and everybody else.
Back in the closet.
But Holly's hypothesis, because I have to give her due since she's not here to defend herself.
I am proto-Holly. I demand satisfaction.
Is that Robin is the mastermind behind everything and running it all. And there are episodes that will come up that will have just, if you were watching only that episode, would be direct evidence to support both of us.
Okay.
Because there are moments, particularly anything to do with riddles or puzzles, where Robin knows every answer immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are episodes where Alfred will walk in with a newspaper and say, here, you should look at this. And what's funny about it is when we told Pepper about this, Pepper of all of our collective Second City experiences, amazing comedian in his own right. When we told Pepper about this, he loved my idea and dubbed it the Hedge Maze of Sadness theory. Because after Bruce and Dick outgrew the Hedge Maze of Sadness, where they could be and cry there by themselves, Alfred created a much more elaborate play space for them. And then at the end of this freaking episode, spoiler alert, Aunt Harriet suggests a hedge maze, and everything inside me went happy.
I saw you freaking out. I was like, I thought it was an Aunt Harriet enjoyment that you were having.
Oh, I totally have a crush on Aunt Harriet. Yeah, she's the hottest woman on the show.
Yeah, she's the greatest.
Do her and Alfred have a thing going on?
Wow.
Yes and no.
Oh, okay.
So, way back when.
I was here for that episode, because I was going to talk about that.
They look like a very handsome couple.
Episode 2.
Yeah.
Way back when Tammy was our very first guest ever.
Aww.
Alfred gets knocked out by the Penguin on top of a supermodel. And when I say on top of, I mean they're both sitting on a bench together and his head is leaning on her shoulder. And when Aunt Harriet comes down the stairs, she is scandalized. Like, horribly hurt.
Aww.
In a way that only a jealous lover really could be, I think.
Yeah, I was getting that from them.
The other episode that I watched was the one where Aunt Harriet was seduced by Liberace.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Wait, legit Liberace was in the episode?
Literally Liberace.
Oh, my God.
Liberace was not just in the episode, two characters in the episode. He was two people.
Evil twins.
That's so cool.
He seduced Aunt Harriet, and it was amazing.
Aunt Harriet. Woo-woo.
It was so good. Oh, he was being real butch.
Yeah, he was like, hey, let's get married.
Like, one of his personalities was a cigar chomping gangster.
It was
like,
so
gosh, it was awesome. So that's amazing. Great. Yeah, I also, with all these like theories, I didn't know anything about Robin either. I didn't know his name was Dick. Uh-huh. I didn't know what he looked like outside of his uniform. I didn't know he doesn't wear pants either.
Hold on.
Where are his pants? I just want to ask that because this is the first thing I wrote. A second. Where are Robin's pants? Actually, I wrote, where is Robin's pants? Like, I was trying to write very fast. It's terrible grammar.
Amy, I have a really serious question for you. I know. So, like, you keep saying I haven't seen Batman, and I keep assuming that you mean Batman the TV show. Mm-hmm. But now it kind of sounds like you've never seen the movie Batman Forever. Amy, have you never seen the movie Batman Forever?
I've seen the Batman movie that Nicole Kidman was in.
That's Batman Forever.
Then I've seen
it. No, that's Batman Returns.
That's where she's Poison Ivy.
No, that is... No! Oh, all of you people! Uma Thurman is Batman and Robin, what? Poison Ivy. Have you seen that one?
Oh, no, Michelle Pfeiffer is Batman Returns,
Pfeiffer
Catwoman.
Michelle Pfeiffer is Batman Returns.
Yes, Nicole Kidman is
in Batman Forever.
Right.
She is Dr. Chase, and what a glorious pursuit you must be.
Yeah. Right.
Anything made before 2000 I've seen is a movie. As a movie.
And because
and the stupid bat Warshak, which she said is you're supposed to see whatever you want. No, that's a bat.
It's clearly just a bat.
That's a bat.
Dr. Chase. That I rewatched that movie very recently. It holds up to whatever you're expecting.
You know what? That movie...
Doesn't Batman ever get to kiss the girl?
everything in that movie except for Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh my God. Tommy Lee Jones is awful. No, it's so true.
He's really bad and it's not his fault. They directed that character 100%
Let
wrong.
Let me tell you why it's his fault.
Because he did it?
He was a... I have read that he was a jerk. Like, that he and Jim Carrey... Like, he came on board and was like, Jim Carrey's in this. He's a terrible actor. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. So then he like refused to speak to Jim Carrey the whole time.
That's so stupid.
Yeah. So like he, I guess, I don't know what he thought he was, what kind of movie he thought he was getting involved with. But like then he was like, oh no. So every time I watch a scene of the two of them together, I literally just imagine them yelling cut and him just like turning around and walking away.
That, which is
welcome
funny
to movie making. It's been Carrey, around since the beginning.
Jim Carrey is amazing.
He's really good.
He's also a phenomenal actor.
He's doing so hard.
But in that movie, he is channeling, like in the same way.
He's the best part of that movie.
In the same way that Carl Urban channels DeForest Kelly as McCoy in the new Star Trek movies.
That's so true.
Jim Carrey is just kind of inhabiting Frank Gorshin's Riddler and doing it amazingly
well.
He really is.
Yeah, no, he really is the best part of that movie. And
Kilmer's really good as Bruce Wayne.
I agree with you. He is my favorite Bruce Wayne.
Yes, mine too.
Not my favorite Batman, but my favorite Bruce
Wayne.
Who's
your favorite Batman? Keeping in mind, I'm allowing Kevin Conroy to be part of the argument.
Oh, are you now? Uh-huh. Well, shit, now I want to say Kevin Conroy. Kevin Conroy.
For your benefit, Kevin Conroy was the voice of Batman actor in the 89 to whenever Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, okay. Which, by the way...
Oh, so that counts.
You should really watch.
That's
where Harley Quinn comes from.
I have my signed Mask of the Phantasm poster in my living room.
Really?
Signed by Paul Dini.
Oh.
And I just realized that
I met him for like 2 seconds one time.
I just realized that I've met him many times. I've sat in his living room.
Oh!
And I just realized that my copy of season one of Batman the Animated Series is also signed by Paul.
Mm.
I'm still trying to get Misty, his wife, onto the podcast. Every 3 or 4 months we chat via text and she says she'll do it. And then we talk 3 or 4 months later.
Yeah.
I just realized I did see the Batman where Heath Ledger plays
the Joker.
Okay. What was that? What movie was that?
Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, I saw that. Here's my problem. I don't pay attention when I watch things.
It was the Dark Knight.
Whatever.
if it's something I'm not super interested or invested in, I don't.
All of you people need to leave this podcast right now.
You guys knew coming into this that I do not know anything about comic books, superhero stuff, Batman. You know.
All right.
You
knew this. Sorry.
And you had
You're
me on anyway.
Dark Knight Rises, Ben.
No, I'm actually thinking of Dark Knight Returns, which is the Frank Miller comic.
Oh, man. Which, by the way, that animated is...
Oh, yeah. They did a great job of animating that.
Great. Yeah, we own that one. And so HBO Go's got all the, like, DC animated now. And I started to watch Wonder Woman, but I just bought Wonder Woman Year One, and I'm really slowly reading through it. It's so good. Okay, anyway, comic books are cool.
Tammy and I are nerds. Amy's not so much.
I'm a huge nerd.
I'm a nerd to the nerds.
When Amy starts her wrestling podcast,
we'll come on and then she can educate us.
Fantastic.
Well, I know things like Sting because of my little brother.
I'm now trying to learn the actual names of the wrestling moves. So,
Pile driver.
I know if you, that's one. Yep.
For the podcast listener, I just demonstrated.
That was very good. I'm very proud of you.
Clothesline.
I think you know more than I do.
My brother had one of those wrestling dolls.
Yeah. I remember those.
Would make the noises.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. His was Triple H.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know things.
Triple H. He's gone through a lot of changes in the past few decades.
Wait, is he still around?
Oh, yeah.
Is he a bad guy now?
Stephanie McMahon. Yeah, he's a heel.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's married to Stephanie McMahon, so he's like basically.
Do you guys remember when Hulk Hogan became a bad guy? And I don't mean when the race is
I do remember when Hulk Hogan was
Ew. When he did what?
I don't recall that.
You don't remember
that? He tried to have sex with his daughter?
No, there was just this whole thing about like she was...
No, you're thinking of Donald Trump.
No. Same thing. No, there was this whole thing. Look, I don't want to slander anyone on a podcast, so we'll talk about it after the podcast.
Okay.
Billionaire Noodle Queen, which is how we got down this road in the first place. Batman on Rapid Transit, Batwalk. That's how we got down this road. So they go to the Batmobile tracking map, which strangely looks like the giant Lucite lighted map of Gotham, only relabeled for this episode.
Yep, that was labeled very clearly.
I'm calling shenanigans. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they get paid full price for a relabel, or do you think it's some kind of like sliding scale?
Well, I think that Somebody else made that map. I don't think the label company made the map. So I think they get full price for the label.
I do think it was the same people that did the Star Trek displays, though, right?
Oh, it's possible. Well, no, because you know what, honestly? This was way fancier than a lot of the displays on the original Star Trek. This was almost next generation level Lucite. Since they can track the Batmobile, they ultimately decide that Batman will ride on the back of the Alf cycle. Now, for those of you who have not been watching and have not seen the Alf cycle in previous episodes, it is not a motorcycle. It is a bicycle.
A tiny bicycle.
That was my thought as well, is that they had to sing Daisy the whole way they were
I think it was really just built for one, though.
It was.
And Batman just hopped on.
It just had pegs on the back wheel, so Batman could.
And if only Alfred could cycle a little faster, Batman's cape would go out. It would be very impressive.
I was thinking that they needed a fan in front of him to make the cape go out for dramatic effect.
I also think that he probably needed to pedal faster, because that cape is dangerous where Batman was standing. Because it could have gotten caught in the wheel.
Yeah, I was wondering how many takes that took of Alfred riding, or whoever played him.
He almost.
But did you guys notice that Batman ducked his head getting out of the Batcave?
I realized, why did they build it that way? They should just use some forced perspective where it looks lower, but he always probably had to think about hitting his head on that.
Well, no, because most of the time they never actually left the Batcave. They would run towards the Batmobile and cut to stock footage of the Batmobile driving out of the Batcave. So they'd be fine.
It was a pretty dramatic duck. You know?
It was like that new SNL sketch, Goodbye, Mr. Bunting.
Oh, that was so good.
I didn't watch it.
It's amazing.
Fred Armisen.
Yeah, and it's amazing because it's one of those returns to just kind of classic buffoonery, and it's so spot on. It's so good because it's a long setup for a really good payoff.
So long. And like they did a good job of the setup too.
Oh, I'll have to watch.
Meanwhile,
I wrote that he really needs a bat Uber, right, guys?
Oh, bat Uber!
I would have gone with Batlift.
I know. I literally started to write Batlift, and then I was like, that just sounds like an elevator. So I went Uber. I personally use Lyft, though. Lyft for life, guys.
I do too. It's cheaper. It's better. It's just better.
Lyft does not pay for this podcast, but if they wanted to, I would take
them. Did we get you a Lyft code?
So meanwhile, while Batman and Alfred are cycling towards the Batmobile, a couple of cops pull up on the rundown factory. This is where rundown factory is repeated at least seven times.
So much.
And
for people like me, who are like, wait, where are they again? It's a rundown factory.
It's labeled rundown factory.
And they just say it so much.
Wait, who is that? It's Batman.
Yeah, I literally think this might be my favorite character behind Catwoman for obvious reasons.
So
good old Gordy.
Is that the officer?
Commissioner. That's the police commissioner.
Oh, okay. No, not Gordon. Gordy.
Gordy. Oh yes.
Gordy is the new
police officer who is new to Gotham.
And does not know things work.
That silly boy.
Yeah.
And does not know the Batmobile when he sees it, because all new cars look alike.
It makes me think that Gordy was literally like a writer in the writer's room. Yeah. Don't you feel like he was like, look, I'll do this.
Well, what's funny about that, honestly, is that George Barris, the guy who created the Batmobile, actually created the Batmobile based on a Ford Futura concept car. So that base body was actually toured around the country as potentially a brand new kind of car.
So this is about a year and a half, two years after the creation of the Batmobile.
So it's probably three or four years after the Ford Futura first toured the country. But he wasn't entirely... The gag isn't entirely wrong, which is kind of awesome.
Interesting.
Sorry.
Went
into the weeds on that one.
This is fascinating.
I just wrote, God damn it, Gordy, quit ticketing Batman.
Yeah, because he keeps like listing off violation after violation. There's no address on his registration. The keys are still in the car. Which I would say, who the hell's business is that but the car owners?
Yeah, why is that a violation, leaving your keys in the car?
I mean,
you guys,
it would be...
just don't understand Gotham. There are supervillains running around. If you leave your keys in the car, you are aiding and abetting.
I see how that is.
Oh, I guess so. All I wrote for this was, everyone's IQ seems pretty low here.
I'm just saying that Captain America would be really against that law.
Yeah. Does he like to leave keys in cars?
Well, no, he's just against people being over-registered. Okay, so Tammy, obviously you've seen Civil War.
I'm going to choose to not answer that question. This is why, because I don't want to piss off all of your listeners.
Oh, they're already pissed off because of me. Okay, when I go, why are Robin's pants? I don't get it.
Why did Batman adopt this pantsless boy? What's going on?
His name is Bruce.
I'm happy to participate in a Batman podcast because I love DC.
Are you so anti-Marvel that you don't see the movies?
I don't want to give them any more of my money anymore. I think they make garbage movies that start out great and then they turn stupid and I hate it. And feel free to send all of your hate mail to me because I've literally had screaming fights with very good friends about this. But I just feel like it's like useless and worthless. And you know what? I don't want to ruin the experience for you guys anymore. So I'm not going to go to a Marvel movie and then sit there and roll my eyes really hard.
So Marvel is like Captain America,
Iron Man, Spider-Man.
So then who's DC?
Batman, Superman.
The good ones. Wonder Woman.
Green Lantern.
The Flash. Yeah. Green Arrow.
Yep.
I'm watching all those.
You know what?
I'm behind on both Flash and Green Arrow.
Okay. Without spoilers, Flash is a darn good TV show.
Oh my gosh, I'm enjoying the hell out of it, especially because I think we talked about this last time, because we had just started. I really enjoy watching Green Arrow, but it is pretty silly sometimes.
Yeah.
The Flash, they fixed all those problems for me.
Yep. The Flash, and forgive me because I'm about to praise Marvel, but. Flash figured out what Iron Man figured out.
Iron Man is the first Iron Man. I love that movie.
Have you watched the third one?
Nope.
Watch the third one.
Yeah, because I just heard an interview with Shane Black, so I'm a little interested to watch it.
No, I will loan you the third one before you leave tonight, because the third one explores the kind of PTSD that a normal human being would experience after dealing with the events of the Avengers.
See, I like that, because that's why I didn't like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, to me. They were trying to do a thing where they were like, let's make it real. Like, they were trying to be like, what would it be like? Because he's actually probably poor. So that sucks. He's saving the city, but he's a poor guy. Then Dr. Octopus robbed a bank, and there were literally bags with dollar signs written on it.
Yep.
Make your fucking decision. Be Dick Tracy or be Christopher Nolan. Don't try to be both at the same time.
But that's not Marvel's fault. That's Sony's fault.
Hey, Sony pays for my health insurance.
Flash figured out what the first Iron Man figured out, which is you can't take this crap too seriously.
They do such a good job. The casting is so perfect in Flash.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
God, he's so charming. Isn't he so charming?
He's adorable.
He's so goddamn charming.
That show is still on.
Yeah, they're all
heading towards season three and
they all,
strong.
They all work together and now they've got what's it called? Tomorrow?
Legends of Tomorrow.
I literally did like a Flash time travel bit in my last Harry Potter show.
Awesome. And now Supergirl is moving over to CW.
Yes. I'm excited about that because I enjoy Supergirl. I think they're doing a great job. Yeah.
And what's her face, who actually plays Supergirl, is adorable.
Speaking
and really
charming.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
where are we? Oh, Batman's getting ticketed. Gordy is learning how things are in Gotham.
Gordy. Learning his lesson.
I had some serious thoughts about, like, oh my God, this is just like, he's like, no, these are the laws and the rules. And you know what? He's right. Batman kind of agrees with him. Batman's kind of like, if you need to ticket me, I get it.
Yeah.
No, not ticket me. Gordy says, I think we should run you in and impound your car. Batman's like, that's your decision.
That's what you want to do.
I mean, granted.
Batman is perfectionist.
It seems like he said it knowing that they would let him go.
But granted, the life of my sidekick and some random billionaire are in the balance, but sure, I'll go to jail.
You know what? Right? Fuck you, time Batman. For that. You're going to operate outside the law, but like not really. Like, make a.
Yeah.
You know what? I think Batman's a Leo. Because Leo is that indecisive?
That's stubborn.
Well, it's stubborn. And you believe, speaking as a Leo, you believe in rules until you decide those rules don't work. And then it's okay if you break the rules, but everybody else better obey the fucking rules. Like when the door says in and the door says out, don't you go out that indoor unless you're like, today I'm being wild.
Are we talking about literal doors right now?
Yeah, that's my
example. Oh, okay, good, okay.
I was literally picturing my target when I said that. I'm a visual storyteller.
Gordy's partner convinces him not to ticket Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Batman then tries to radio Robin from a radio that looks like it comes from the utility belt and not from the car.
Yeah.
Which made me wonder
why couldn't you just radio him before?
I don't know.
Anybody? Anybody?
No.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe he just figured it out?
It slipped his mind.
Oh, yeah.
Complete slipped his mind.
That does not mean the whole time.
Fell out of his utility belt into the Batmobile.
Maybe. But we cut to inside the maze. Robin has made it to the middle and found Katarina. And he asks you, are you Katarina? And she says, yes. Also policewoman Mooney.
Which really sounded like she was like, look, I was double cast.
Exactly.
This is a Broadway play.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I am both Jefferson and Lafayette.
I am multi. Oh my God. When that comes in 2017, we have to. Like, I'm putting money away now so I can buy a row.
Right. Okay, I'll get it.
It's going to sell out.
Yeah, we need to coordinate.
It's probably already sold out by the season ticket holders.
They sent me a thing like, you want to get into Hamilton? Guarantee it with a season pass. I'm like, I can't afford that right now.
But that's all. I think that's going to be the only way.
We're going to make it happen. I'm already trying my... Oh, wait, I can't talk about it. It's a secret. I'll tell you guys later.
Okay.
Okay, we won't tell anybody. It's probably for your husband. Anybody here, but just in case.
Anyway, please, stage whispers only. I don't know how strong these mics
are. Yeah, this is very annoying for the people driving in their car and they have to like turn it up.
We should have shouted. Yeah. We should have just screamed their heads off. Anyway, we're in the middle of the maze and Catwoman appears through a hole in the ceiling.
Oh, God.
Which she has done on several occasions.
Occasions.
She has done on several occasions, and at first my thought was, oh man, this is really repetitive. And I'm like, no, it's really cat-like. It makes perfect sense.
Oh, pardon me, sorry. And the hole that she that opens up in the scene, it's got an eye on it.
It's a cat eye.
Yeah,
it's a cat eye. She's doing this
She is a yummy looking lady.
She was like legs wide open over that cat eye. That was woo woo woo. She's body goals.
Batman. This is where Batman calls to the hotline because he calls from the phone in the Batmobile.
Yes, exactly.
And Commissioner Gordon is playing old-timey operator because he has to run from phone to phone.
Last time I was here too.
Yep.
And they showed every single moment of it.
My thought of this was, when I saw this again, my thought was, cell phones have changed the world. Yeah. Because, like, it would have been, Batman, give me a sec. Call waiting, click.
Yeah. I wrote, Commissioner Gordon needs a secretary.
He has one. Her name is Bonnie.
Bonnie, what the fuck? What are you doing, lady? He's answering three different lines that are on physically three different phones, one of which is on the other side of the room, which, again, literally, he hangs up a phone and is just like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, like, walking over. Like, poor job, guys.
Okay, I have to point out that we have said suggestive things on this particular podcast, but the curse word barrier was broke by your...
This is me. No, but by your dissatisfaction with Bonnie's administrative skills.
Look, everything else that happens in this episode. What the fuck, Bonnie?
Wait, there's a Bonnie?
Okay.
We don't see or hear her in this episode.
Oh, but she exists.
She's a disembodied voice most of the time.
Super frequently on Batman, they'll just just have
super freak
Wendy on Batman. They will literally just be like, oh, let's put some sexy ladies in here. Like, that happens a lot. Yeah. You have the perfect opportunity for a sexy lady
to be a secretary, like, running juggling, around all frazzled.
Yeah, like juggling these phones, and you're going to make Commissioner Gordon do it himself. No wonder there's so much goddamn crime in Batman or Gotham.
Yeah.
Batman's town.
All right. So Batman explains what's going on, asks what's what, if they've heard from Chief O'Hara, who's been staking out J. Pauline Spaghetti's apartment, trying to keep Sandman out. Chief O'Hara explains that Sandman and J. Pauline Spaghetti have left after he and the other two police officers were put to sleep. Sandman left a message for Batman from the third person who called, which was from the bank. The bank manager calls and says he has a message. And it's from Sandman to Batman. At this point, Sandman still believed Batman to be dead. Why would you leave a message for somebody you just murdered?
I would also like to point out,
just in case,
I feel like this was a moment in the writer's room where they were like, how can we tell the story of both them getting the $200 million and also letting Batman know where Catwoman lives? And somebody probably got a bonus over this, but it was mostly just very confusing.
It was a little strange.
Why couldn't Sandman have just left a letter next to Chief O'Hara, who was asleep at a desk?
For God's sake.
I know.
No, the budget, the signs were all done.
You know why? Because that one for the maze had glitter.
That was a good one. That was very fancy.
Somebody explains that they have eloped to the Spaghetti Island.
Spaghetti. Otherwise known as Catalina. Spaghetti Island.
This is where Batman goes to Catwoman, explains that she's been double-crossed, and sort of teams up with her to get some information. She is all for it.
Yes.
Like 100%.
I'll say.
At one point, saying, and I quote, if I purr, so to speak, which I did not take to mean her talking about what she knows.
No, she was talking about something entirely different.
I was going to write that down,
and I was like, no, I'll remember. There was some sexual stuff going on.
Yeah.
That's some sexual thing. If I purr.
Whoa, your Catwoman's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Yep. I love Julie Newmar's voice. Yeah. It's very Audrey Hepburn-esque.
She's wonderful.
Isn't the accent? She's so tall.
You also missed out on this one. Every one of her stories so far, Julie Newmar's Catwoman stories, involves makeup and costumes and her pretending to be other people. Unfortunately, that was the episode before this.
I remember watching that one when I was younger, where she pretends to be someone else, and then they're like, oh no, did she lose her mind? And then doesn't Bruce fall in love with her?
I don't remember. Wait, no, that's the movie.
Isn't that the movie where she's like, I don't know what's happening, and they're like, that's clearly Catwoman, but I don't think she knows.
I honestly don't remember. It's been a long time. There are plots that I remember that I'm still waiting to see.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Speaking of, that's a good transition.
Batboat.
Oh, yes. But also off-screen rescue because she says Robin's in the middle of the maze and then all of a sudden Batman and Robin are back in the Batmobile.
We have to approach
all of these phones.
Well, that's what I wrote down. You guys, I was so, like, with the writer's mindset, I'm like, you guys, less exposition, less explaining, less words, and just more doing. And then suddenly they just skip the whole Robin rescue.
And the thing about it, though, is that it was literally a four-second shot. Because we've already seen that she has a trap door above the middle of the maze. All we need is, where are they? They're in the middle of the maze. Four-second shot of that door opens up. Batman and Catwoman are standing there, and they drop a rope ladder.
Four seconds, we can then cut to the Batmobile coming to the dock. So weird. Maybe it was just a bad editing job.
You think that's in the director's cut of this episode?
Maybe they were like, we gotta edit five seconds out of this thing. Oh, I know that great action sequence where Robin gets rescued.
Oh my god, that is the scariest thing I could think of for this show. Is somebody telling me 14 minutes of additional footage?
I would actually, like, because of all the stuff they leave in, like buttons. falling off of things and like Batman having to duck out of the cave and almost crashing the bike.
They might not have any extra footage.
But what do they cut out? If all that makes the final cut, it's literally just like
lighting stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing fun.
But then we do have them going to the Batboat, which is the first regular episode with the Batboat in it.
They spent some money on it too. Yeah. There were some good aerial shots. It was great.
Although I haven't gone back and rewatched the movie recently. I bet that stuff they filmed in the movie that they just cycled back in.
I was wondering what the timing was because it really is.
The movie takes place between seasons 1 and 2, so the movie's already happened at this point.
It's definitely movie footage then. Because
it's way higher quality too.
And I do remember them coming down off the dock into, and we see that here. So
yeah, well, this show is nothing if not brilliant in its seamless use of stock footage. And they get on the Batboat and they're heading towards Spaghetti Island, which looks suspiciously like Catalina. And meanwhile, Sandman and J. Pauline Spaghetti are in the old spaghetti. They're in the old spaghetti factory.
Wait, isn't that a restaurant?
Yes. They're in the old spaghetti factory.
Spaghetti warehouse. It's warehouse.
No, it's an old spaghetti factory. It's a restaurant.
There's one in Old Town, San Diego.
There's one on your way, like on the 210, I think.
But do you think that's like a throwback to Batman? Do you think that's what
it is? Whether or not they intended it to be, it is now.
To this one episode.
It's done.
In Texas, we have Spaghetti Warehouse, and there's a...
You also have school book depositories.
Yeah, sorry about that, guy. Sorry about racism. I would just like to take a moment to apologize.
I just watched... There's a CNN series of like all the different decades, and we just...
I've been watching that one too, the 60s.
It's so good. Oh, yeah. We're watching 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Oh, my God. I'm still watching 60s.
It's on CNN. It's the 60s, and there's a docu-series.
I've seen bits and pieces. I haven't watched...
But last night, I watched... Oh, yeah. So are we. And we're recording the 80s on demand, or on the cable. But we...
On the cable?
On the cables? It's a new thing. You press a button.
It's like television, but it's a wire. It's not through aerials.
You can watch it anytime. Well, last time we watched the one about JFK.
I just finished that one. No, actually, I watched that one, and then today I watched the Vietnam War one.
Ooh, I'm going
to
skip that
one. And so I'm trying to watch. Okay, so I started because...
There's some great ones.
Okay, tiny aside. I was in a play in college. It was the world premiere, and it was called The Marriage of Miss Hollywood and King Neptune. It was written by this guy, Robert Schenken. He went to UT, and he won a Pulitzer Prize, and blah, blah, blah. So he wanted to premiere it at UT. So Robert Schenken wrote the play that the new HBO movie about LBJ and MLK is based off.
Yeah, I recorded that. I want to watch it.
And so Robert Schenken is one of the like official historians in the show. Robert Schenken, you would also recognize from an episode of The Next Generation. The episode, it's like episode 3. Where they go to the planet, it's been overtaken by like those bugs that crawl into people and they have to.
Yeah.
Okay, so the guy who gets exploded, Robert Schenken. Pulitzer Prize winning author, Robert Schenken.
It's a terrible episode.
Because season 1 is awful.
Oh, it's really
bad.
So
I don't know how I got picked up.
So when Holly and I finish this, she wants to do Twilight Zone.
Oh, man. I've been really watching it. I started watching it on Netflix.
It's
It's a New Year's Day thing for me. I always watch it New Year's Day.
It's so good.
Do you want to do a Star Trek The Next Generation one with me?
Oh, I can't commit to that. Ben, ask me off air. Ask me off air. Because I've already rewatched Next Gen.
No. I've already gotten down on one knee. I've got my microphone box open.
God, it's so
and I'm a unfortunate witness.
Yeah, you get to deal with all the awkward
stuff. I've never seen
Star Trek either, so just don't ask me to be a guest.
And after this, Tammy and I are going to pretend to be friends when we're with other people, but we're not going to talk anymore. It's going to be so weird.
I just can't drive. You live too far away from me, Ben. It took me an hour to get here.
What if I go to your place?
It'll take you an hour.
I don't care. I got an electric car.
Ben just invited himself over to my house.
Woo woo.
And you all heard it.
We're a Star Trek podcast.
Okay, we'll talk about it. My husband is currently working on doing a Degrassi podcast.
I invited myself over to your house to watch Star Trek, which guarantees that nobody's getting laid.
That's true. I don't know, unless there are four lights. What? Deep cut. Let's go.
Or you know, we go for 7 years and then it has to happen.
Oh, man.
Are these Star Trek jokes?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not getting them.
Yes, ma'am.
One's a super sexy Vulcan joke.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand.
They don't even talk about that next gen, do they?
No, well, there's not really a Vulcan on the Ponfar.
Let's talk about more things I don't understand. Batmania.
We're back in the old spaghetti factory.
Oh, yes.
Which has a big paint pot in the middle.
I know.
No, that's a noodle
Why is it covered in paint? Various
it looks like a big pottery factory. Yeah. It was like a giant like pottery like wheel.
Are they giant?
It was weird.
Noodles?
Yeah, it was interesting. Look, I've eaten a lot of pasta maybe? In my life. I've never seen them that color.
Like zebra.
Do you think it's fake pasta? Oh, my God. She's a counterfeit billionaire. She deals in counterfeit.
All of her husbands have died in pasta making accidents somehow.
Which I wrote down because so first husband kneading machine, second husband in the vermicelli press.
He dried.
Dried in the vermicelli dryer. That's right. Third husband revolving knives, and the last husband was a something cylinder, steam cylinder.
Yeah, he grew.
He expanded to three times. Do you think it was the Grinch? Was she married to the Grinch?
Or Room of Salt.
Oh, yes. Yeah, good. My next note is... My next note is all named spaghetti.
I wrote that, too. Yeah.
And then I wrote down, is she a Black Widow?
Yeah, I think because
I got the feeling because she has a plaque ready for Sandman. Yeah. Like this is
like
this
she's
is
gonna die in a pasta making accident too.
She's my favorite, and also she made them take her last name.
And now she's got and you're gonna die next because I'm outliving all of my husbands.
Yeah, he's gluten intolerant.
I only marry men with gluten allergies.
It was the 60s. They're like, what?
My dad.
Glue what?
My dad used to work at a bread factory, and he was there one day when somebody's hand got smashed in a thing.
Wait. So when your dad was doing that, was he bringing home the dough?
Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Two Rocks. He would always come home smelling very delicious. And then after that job, he got a job at a pickle factory, and it was gross. He came home smelling like sweat and feet.
My dad worked at like a 7-Up bottling plant. Why did our dads all work in factories?
Because our dads didn't graduate high school. That's why my dad.
My dad was counsel for the State Board of Pharmacy for 25 years.
That's different.
Okay, that's different.
Hey, Austin's dad is a pharmacist.
Oh, there you go. Was he crooked? Did my dad ever go after him?
I think he was. Again, we'll talk about it off podcast.
Too late.
You told me some Vegas stories about not sleeping, and I was like, you had a lot of access to pills, didn't you, buddy?
But anyway, Batman and Robin show up. And we have our onomatopoeia fight. So since Holly isn't here, I did the honors. Oh, yeah. We had Zizwap, Zowie, Wham, Boff, Zlop, Kapow, Sock, and K.O.
K.O. was my favorite because...
No, I think it's K.O. because I think it means knockout punch.
Yeah, because it's a...
Which I'd never actually figured out until this moment.
Yeah. Okay, we know what we're talking about.
I just have to say, I wrote this down. Love the fight sequence with graphics. Now, I've never seen Batman. I've never seen it like that, but you just know of it because it's so famous. I got really excited for the fight sequence when the graphics were popping up in that cartoon kind of style. It was, or comic book style. It was really cool. It was fun. I enjoyed it. That's my favorite scene. I like that.
And Sandman is knocked into this giant pot in the middle of the room, and he's then saying noodles like in the same manner that Indiana Jones would say snakes.
Yeah.
However, he is clearly wrestling with a fire hose.
It was a pastel-colored fire hose. That didn't even look like a noodle, not even close.
It also didn't look like a spaghetti pot, guys. It was covered in paint.
Yeah, it was so weird. I noted this hole... That whole moment felt like an Austin Powers movie. You know, I'm waiting for that, Mike Myers to make a Batman version of an Austin Powers movie because it felt like a parody of itself. And I know maybe it's meant to be that way. I don't want to make any listeners angry. This is just my first watcher observation.
It absolutely is, and you're absolutely right.
It's great.
And even for a show that is supposed to be a farce, there are moments where it kind of laps itself. And
yes.
This may have been one of them.
Like the fantastic. I love it. Like the time they escaped the... piano player punching thing, which was very similar.
By scatting.
By scatting.
What? You I have to see that.
Amy oh, yeah.
It was amazing. It was the best.
It was impressive. I will make sure that you get the Liberace episode.
Yeah,
because they have to be seen.
That's because it was almost Christmas, and I was decided I was going to scat a picture of Holly to her as a Christmas gift.
That's right. I remember that. So he's knocked the fire hose. Meanwhile, during all this fight, J. Pauline, who has been suffering from insomnia for years and years, which is the crux of Sandman getting to her,
which is adorbs,
just naturally falls asleep on Sandman's coat. And I will point one thing out. If you do not like Sandman for all the various reasons, like him being completely bland and milquetoast, he wears a great coat.
He also has amazing hair. His hair was super sexy.
Yeah, it was.
Like, it kind of looks like my husband's hair, which I'm really into when he does his hair. I'm like, that's sexy.
Also, what was inside of the Sandman's coat? Because when she's there was a lot of stuff inside of his
yeah,
coat.
Yeah, well, he had his
lots of tricks in there.
His coke spewing stethoscope. Yes, stuff like that.
It was a fun house inside of his coat.
Yeah, it is.
Look, we can't all have.
You want to see the fun house in my coat,
utility
ladies?
Belts, you know, sometimes we need utility belts.
I want a utility fur coat. I mean, faux fur, because you know, fur is murder.
Of course, of course. I know. I love how she just fell asleep on it.
I thought it was a joke about her being old or something.
No. It was about her insomnia.
Oh.
And this was the first good night's sleep she's gotten in forever that wasn't chemically induced.
Because she needs to murder to sleep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure she hasn't had a good night's sleep since she killed the last husband.
I really want her to be a villain, yeah.
We then cut back to Stately Wayne Manor, where Aunt Harriet has been working with the lawn manicurist, Gardner, on... What do they call him? They call him something.
Landscaper?
Landscaper, thank you. Working with the landscaper, which is a great name for a Batman villain. And she is showing Alfred, Bruce, and Dick the plans that she has for a hedge maze, which is why I got excited, because the hedge maze of sadness. And Bruce, again, in his desperate need to be right, explains why. Actually, my next note is that Aunt Harriet doesn't like people because her idea of fun is setting all the guests loose in the maze and seeing if they can make it out.
Shining doesn't come out yet, guys. In her defense.
I love that.
But I just like
a bored old rich white woman. I want to see my friends.
But I like she's not rich though. She's Dick's aunt. She's not related to Bruce. So she's playing around with Bruce's money.
I didn't know this.
Weird.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I was thinking the whole time she was Bruce's aunt.
Nope. They explain in previous episodes that Harriet Cooper is Dick Grayson's aunt.
So why she walk? Wait, is Dick rich?
No.
No, he was
Dick
rich.
Dick is a circus boy.
Yeah, he was part of the traveling circus.
Get out of here.
Yeah, if you've seen the Nicole Kidman one, you would know.
Yeah, the flying Graysons.
Oh, okay.
Where they wear the Robin outfit.
Was that
actually it's closer to Nightwing's outfit that they use in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yes, fair enough.
But anyway, so that is Robin's auntie. Yes.
Dick's auntie.
Who's playing around with Bruce's money and wants to build a hedge maze where she can set. Maybe she's just bitter about not actually being rich herself. She wants to set all the rich people lost
in the
maze and this like rear window it at the back window and just watch them all freak out.
Okay, I could see that. That'd be fun.
She's drinking her, what was it? Her like blackberry.
Like blackberry brandy?
Blackberry brandy, that's what it was. Yeah. That's what Liberace tried to get her drunk.
Ooh, she loved it.
She had a tiny snifter. My last note for the episode was, sorry, Aunt Harriet, fuck your ideas.
Yeah, because Bruce explains that hedge mazes are a bad idea because they attract cats.
By the thousands.
And their abnormal patterns put people to sleep.
Don't you guys
by
know
hypnosis.
That? It's real. Like, have you ever seen a maze? Oh, thousands of cats.
My note on that is cats and sleeping. Nuh-uh. No, that's
Bruce,
as Hollywood say, that's not a thing.
Bruce is that asshole who's like, can we ruin everything for you? And she was like, just kidding, I just wanted a regular lawn.
Right.
Sorry,
right.
guys.
So maybe
I just want clovers.
Whatever. She's literally going back to her room and fapping over Liberace. So she's fine.
I'm going to have some blackberry brandy.
Yeah, she's going to have a snifter and a half. And she's going to get
in my field of clover.
The idea of a woman fapping just seems horribly unpleasant to me.
Not
the idea. No. I am all the way down for female masturbation.
Okay.
I think women are extremely attractive, and
well,
I like the idea of them
jerking off. You gotta say something else.
Yeah.
Chilling off.
That just sounds awkward. Yeah, that sounds like you don't.
That sounds sexy.
Because it sounds like the. I would also, now I'm also imagining, because I'm flashing back to that episode, that Aunt Harriet's got a player piano with that Liberace, and she's
like
playing the low notes.
You mean like the pleasure machine from Barbarella?
Yes!
Oh,
Liberace.
Oh, gosh.
I would like to invite Tammy to come on my inappropriate sound effects podcast, which is just us sitting around for 40 minutes making the worst possible noises we can think of.
I've done that. I had to with my... I wrote this episode of our web series where one of them thinks the other one is... masturbating, so then I had to record masturbating sounds, and I was so embarrassed. I was like, don't look at me, like, go to the other room and don't listen to this.
Oh my, for roommates, not lovers.
Yeah,
oh my
yeah. God.
That's the best. She's level best.
The joke is that she's trying to like paint the top of her wall. But he just hears her like jumping and like, and she's like, I need help. It's gonna dry. You know, like, and then he comes in to help her and she's just painting.
So, one of the last things I wrote was, because, you know, I don't know. Who are. Like Batman and Robin to each other in pedestrian life. So I guess Bruce and Dick. Who are they two? Are they buddies, cousins?
Bruce Wayne is. Bruce Wayne is son of Gotham royalty, essentially.
Okay.
His father was a doctor. His mother was a rich philanthropist from a fancy family.
Mm-hmm.
His parents were murdered. Depending on which version you're reading, either after seeing Deflator Mouse, seeing a generic opera, going to see a Zorro movie, but they were murdered outside of a theater in Crime Alley in Gotham, which is only referenced once in the show.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
It wasn't called Crime Alley before.
Oh, gotcha.
They didn't just go, hey, you know where's a good shortcut home?
Crime Alley.
Dick Grayson is the son and a circus performer himself of the Flying Graysons.
Mm-hmm.
And in most versions of that story, a mob enforcer is trying to extort money from the circus, and as a way of showing them what will happen if they don't pay, he loosens the line or cuts the line that his parents are using for their show because they go without a net. So both his parents are killed, at which point Bruce, and again, depending on which version you're reading, is either there that night or finds out about it and takes Dick in.
As his ward.
Has his ward, yes.
Oh my goodness.
So rather than becoming a ward of the state, this rich billionaire decides to take this child in, and also make him part of his war on crime.
Oh, okay.
Aunt Harriet is unexplained.
that's Dick's aunt.
Why?
I'll explain it. It's because the Andy Griffith Show was very popular, and so they were like, "Give us one of those."
but I mean, it's like. Who do we send him with? This rich millionaire or his last living relative? Oh, I know. Why doesn't he just buy the boy by also taking in the last living relative?
Sounds right.
But interestingly enough, Dick Grayson, who is Bruce Wayne's ward, is played by Burt Ward, which I've always liked.
Yeah.
But that is the end of the episode. The day is saved once again. Gotham is safe forever and ever. And our next episode coming up is going to be called... I can't read my own writing.
Welcome to my world.
I don't remember.
Oh, The Contaminated Cowl is going to be episode 69 of Batmania 66. Tammy and Amy, as you have stated before, you are both writing partners.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you guys would like to plug? Perhaps a brand new music video that the two of you just made?
Funny you should ask, Ben.
Because, yes, we do have a music video we just made. It was based on a sketch we did in our two-woman show called Ghostbusted. And we play the mothers of Belle and Ariel, Disney princesses. And if you're wondering who were those guys, well, that's because they did not exist. We invented them. There are no mothers in several Disney stories, so we made
up. You have to kill at least one parent before you can start
this. You do. Have every single one. To answer the question, why are there no Disney moms? So you can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Facebook.
And what should they search if they want to find you on YouTube?
Actually, to be honest with you, the best way to find us is to search the terms Ghosts Busted. And then you'll find our channel.
So we shouldn't search no bras.
That did work for one guy.
And hot moms. Okay. Hot moms,
yeah. Hot moms and no bras, but that worked for one guy. It may not work for you.
We're thrilled to be featured on hoohaha.com earlier today. We've been getting a lot of traffic that way.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So find them there. And then are you guys doing any live performances coming up or anything like that?
We might be performing in Sonoma pretty soon. We were like, wine and comedy. Okay.
One, the other, or both of you. You do not have to plug things that you two are doing together.
Well, we only do things together. We are one person.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. I'm in a Harry Potter improv team called The Show That Shall Not Be Named. And we actually have a lot of events coming up. We're very lucky. We've got a really big one at the end of June. At the Last Bookstore, where over 2,000 people have RSVP'd and only 300 can get in. So come join the bloodbath.
Is that for the release of the new book?
No, it just went viral. I don't know what happened.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we've got like 12,000 people interested right now.
I have been desperate to get back on stage, so I'm super duper.
Yeah, we're going to do, we've got a whole bunch of shows coming up, and we're going to be at Leviosa Con in Vegas, which is the Harry Potter convention. So
remember, folks, it's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
Leviosa, not Leviosa. So follow us at Show That Shall on all the social medias.
There you go.
Cool. Individually, I'm writing a lot right now, so you won't see me performing too much on stage, but I do a lot.
But she periscopes at her computer just all the time.
It's super thrilling.
Clickety, 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 clickety.
I correct her spelling.
You should. You definitely should.
We need to get another partner that has good spelling.
we just stand next to her and shout disparaging things like a drill instructor.
Yeah, which is why I don't get any writing done. I'm writing a lot. For the web and stuff like that, transforming old sketch stuff into screen stuff. And awesome. I perform with my peers from the Jim Henson Company. We do puppetry. We do a lot of shows around LA. It's random. We were doing some shows at the Lyric Hyperion. We did one. It's a great theater in Silver Lake. It's fantastic. We did one at the Virgil. This past week. So it's random. Wherever we're invited, we show up with
our
puppets.
You're an indie team, just like Show the Show.
Puppets on arms, they say puppet up. Puppets up, you put your puppets up and you start going.
Are you actually performing with puppet up, though?
I am not.
Because I was going to freak the hell out.
No, I trained with the people who direct puppet up, but I am not performing. They are going to Vegas. They'll have a residency at the Venetian.
Oh,
cool. So
they're awesome.
Starting in July. I know. It's so perfect. It's such a good show. Oh, it's so good. Ithamar is at Henson right now, training as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
So my life is now puppets and writing.
Can I have your life?
No, because I love my life. I want it.
All right. If you guys want to find us, this podcast, you can find us posting on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at BetMania66. If you want to send us an email about anything at all, you can email us at BetMania66mail, M-A-I-L, at gmail.com. And if you are listening to this, I assume you've already found the podcast itself, but you can find it on Podomatic.com or on iTunes.com. If you are enjoying yourself, please go ahead and leave us a good review. If you're not enjoying yourself, go ahead and lie and leave us a good review anyway. We will see you guys next time. Same bat time.
Same bat channel.
Same bat channel.